Well, good morning, everyone. How are we? Are we doing okay today? I know it's rainy, I know it's overcast, and I know that 6 days ago the Mariners lost. Are we grieving appropriately? Are we? I can tell that you have not yet, and that this is still sitting with you. And 9 o'clock, I tried to process it with them, and it went very poorly. So we're just going to skip over that, okay? All right? The football team is 5-2, right? That's all good. Good morning, everyone. Sorry to start on that dour note. It's so good to see all of you. For those that are new or visiting with us today, my name is Ryan, and I'm one of the pastors here at Arbor. For the last few weeks, we have been in this series that we are calling Make It Make Sense. Make It Make Sense. And what we're doing is we are going through the book of Proverbs, and here's what we're trying to do. Simply put, we are just trying to grow in wisdom. In a world that is increasingly chaotic and noisy and complex, we want to be wise. And so what we're doing here is we are looking not just at wisdom in general and some philosophic understanding, we are looking at how God's wisdom, and namely God's wisdom as revealed in the book of Proverbs, proposes to shape different aspects of our lives that we talked about in the very first week of this series, different aspects like our posture. Do we fear God? Are we humble and teachable? Proverbs proposes to form our inputs. Are we paying attention to what we're paying attention to? Our processes, how do we make decisions? Are we impulsively reactive, or are we being thoughtfully responsive? And the people that we surround ourselves, are we surrounded by godly, wise individuals, or are we surrounded by the foolish? And today we're going to talk about something that I think impacts all four of those areas. Today we are going to talk about the voices we listen to. The voices we listen to. Because the truth is, each and every one of us seated here today, we are being shaped by voices, someone, something. For some of us, it is one dominant voice. For others, it is a group of voices, but we are all being shaped, directed by these voices that we listen to. Which brings me to a little story that took place in the Appalachian Mountains 15 years ago. And yes, West Coasters, it is pronounced Appalachian. Okay? Yes. Let's all say it together on the count of three. One, two, three. Appalachian. I heard some dissent in there. I heard an Appalachian, and I will find you, okay? I will find you. Listen, it was supposed to be like a really easy drive. My wife and I and our two boys at the time, we were living in western North Carolina, in a little town called Winston-Salem. And my folks, they lived up in Chicago, and we only got to see them like once or twice a year. Once or twice a year. And so they were heading down to eastern Tennessee with a group of students from their church staying at a cabin there. And so we thought, hey, let's head over there for a night or two. We'll spend some time with them. They can see the grandkids. It'll be a blast. And so we got our coffees. We got the kids in the car. And I put their address in the GPS. You heard me correctly. I said GPS. Do you remember those little devices that you would mount to your car? Their exclusive purpose was to direct you where you were supposed to go. We were using one of those, a GPS. And we headed out on our journey. The vibes were good. We were excited to see Grandma and Grandpa. We headed out down I-40, and about an hour and a half into our drive, we started seeing some detour signs because there was a rock slide that had shut the highway down. So we got off the highway and we started to follow the detour. And I decided to listen to and trust the GPS to take us the rest of the way. That's the voice I chose to listen to, the soft, kind, feminine, British voice, because it was reassuring. It was confident. It was technology. And so I listened. But over time, as I listened to that voice, the road started to change. Two lanes became one. Pavement turned to gravel, turned to dirt. Eventually, we found ourselves driving on these Appalachian back roads that I think were originally designed for goats. I mean, at some point we heard banjos playing, like we were growing concerned. Now, mind you, this whole time, the GPS, it never panicked, not once. Its voice kept calmly announcing in its now increasingly annoying British accent, continue on the way for 7.8 miles. As we passed like abandoned mailboxes and cabins that like I can only assume were deeply haunted, right? Now thankfully the road, if you can call it that, it eventually spat us back out onto civilization. We eventually made it to our destination in eastern Tennessee, and it only added something like, I kid you not, 3 or 4 hours to our journey. It was awful. It was awful. And in the aftermath of that experience, I couldn't get over just how confidently I listened to and followed the voice of that GPS. It never lied to me once. I never questioned it the whole time. It ultimately got us to where I wanted to go. But listen, the GPS didn't know the roads we wanted to go on. Namely, like roads built for cars, not for goats. You know what I mean? Like it was like, it didn't understand that. Ultimately, listen, it was a well-intentioned voice that misled us. It was a well-intentioned voice that misled us. And this is what Proverbs 9 is going to speak to. There are voices everywhere, all around you. They are calling out to you. They're loud, they're persuasive, they're confident. They're voices that will not always seem wrong. In fact, much of the time, I think we will experience them as comforting and reassuring, but not all of them will take you where you want to go or in the way you want to get there. And so let's state the obvious right from the beginning. The voices that you listen to shape the life you live. That's the obvious right from the beginning. The voices that you listen to shape the life you live. And so making sure that we are listening to the right voices, voices of wisdom, is absolutely critical if we want to live a good life. And so we're going to look at Proverbs 9 right now, a little context on Proverbs 9. Proverbs 9 is the final chapter of a section of Proverbs, Proverbs 1 through 9, that sets up the theological and philosophical framework and foundation for all of Proverbs. And in Proverbs 10 is where you start to get all of those kind of like quick, insightful, proverbial statements one after another. But Proverbs 1 through 9 is really setting the table. It's setting the scene. And so Proverbs 9 is the capstone chapter to that section. And so with all of that being said, what we find here in chapter 9 is not just some beautiful poetry. It's not some sort of vivid metaphorical illustration. It is a visual description of our reality as we experience it. And so let's look at it now. Verse 1. Wisdom has built her house, and she has carved out its 7 pillars. She has prepared her meat, she has mixed her wine, she has also arranged her table. She has sent out her female servants, she calls out on the highest place of the city, whoever is naive, let him turn in here. To those who lack understanding, she has said, come and eat some of my food and drink some of the wine I have mixed. Abandon your foolish ways so that, causal statement, you may live and walk in the way of understanding. And so right here at the beginning, in these first 6 verses, the writer of Proverbs is painting this picture, is introducing us to this character called Wisdom, or in your translation, might describe it as Lady Wisdom. And she has built a house, and it is a nice house. It's said to have 7 pillars, and why the number 7? Well, in the Hebrew language, 7 is symbolic for completion, for totality. And so Lady Wisdom hasn't slapped together some kind of house with 2x4s and duct tape. She has built something trustworthy. She has built something stable. She has built something beautiful. And she hasn't just built a house. She has created a feast. She has created this glorious feast with the most beautiful, just think like smoked brisket and delicious ribeye and the finest wines that King County has to offer. And she has set the table and it is beautiful. And listen, who is invited to this feast? How can you get an invite to this dinner? Well, listen. The announcement is public. She has sent out her servants all around town to let everyone know about this feast. She herself has gone to the highest place of the city and has boldly declared, "Wisdom is available to all." Her invitation is public. It's known. You can't miss it. And so hear this. Wisdom is not hiding. It's just waiting for you to listen. Wisdom isn't hiding. It is simply waiting for you to listen. Listen, wisdom isn't elusive. Wisdom is not some sort of secret hidden treasure that you have to labor and work so hard to find. Wisdom, as we talked about a few weeks ago, is literally woven into the fabric of reality and of creation. Its ways, its principles, its practices are available everywhere. Wisdom is also not exclusive. Wisdom is not simply available to the person who is super intelligent. It's not available to the wealthy. It's not only available to the good looking. Wisdom is a feast with a wide open invitation. Everyone is invited. It's public. And so on the one hand, listen, this should be encouraging. This should be good news. If you want wisdom, you can get it. But it also means that we are all on the hook for how we live. We cannot plead ignorance our entire lives, that we have lived foolishly because wisdom was not available, because it was elusive, because it was exclusive. Wisdom is available for everyone. And so if we choose to follow another voice, that's on us. It's not God's fault. It's not our parents' fault. It's not our spouse's fault. It's not our kids' fault. It's on us. So there's another voice. Proverbs introduces us to another voice. Proverbs 9 is not just going to introduce us to Lady Wisdom. There is a second character, a second voice that we encounter in this text. And what I want you to do is, as I read through these next few verses, I want you to notice the differences, because there are differences, but I also want you to notice the similarities. The similarities. Verse 13, check this out. The woman called folly is brash. She is naive and does not know anything. And she is sat down at the door of her house on a seat at the highest point of the city, calling out to those who are passing by in their way, who go straight on their way. Listen, whoever is naive, let him turn and hear. To those who lack understanding, she has said, stolen waters are sweet, and food obtained in secret is pleasant. And so first of all, do you notice the similarities between the two? See the similarities between Lady Wisdom and Lady Folly, between wisdom and foolishness? Their invitation, listen, church, is practically the same. They're basically neighbors. They live on the same street. Their houses are on the same street. And they announce to the exact same audience, the exact same invitation. They say, "Let all who are simple come to my house." They sound shockingly similar. Many similarities between the two. And so before we go any further, before we look at the differences between the two, it's important to highlight that this right here, the similarities, is one of the reasons why folly is so dangerous. Why foolishness is so dangerous. Because foolishness doesn't come out of its house. dressed up with like devil horns and a pitchfork and a flashing neon sign that says, bad advice here. Foolishness doesn't do that. Foolishness, in its invitation, sounds shockingly similar to wisdom. Shockingly similar. Foolishness, Lady Folly, it imitates, mirrors Lady Wisdom. Foolishness markets itself as something familiar, something comforting. Lady Folly's voice sounds wise. Continue on the path for 7.8 miles. And that's one of the great dangers of folly. Because if you are not paying attention, it is entirely impossible for you to think that you are following and living in the way of wisdom when you are really walking in the way of folly. But if you are paying attention, if you are even somewhat remotely aware, you might be fooled for a season, but it would truly be hard for you to be truly fooled forever. Because while the invitations sound the same, everything else is different. I mean, first of all, the houses are different. Lady Wisdom has constructed this beautiful, well-built, trustworthy house. Lady Folly just sits in the door of hers. We have no idea the quality of the house. Lady Folly has not prepared some sort of glorious feast with delicious wine and delicious meat. No, what does she have on offer? She has on offer stolen waters and sweet food obtained in secret is pleasant, is what she says. And so there's an aspect of what Lady Folly places on offer, on what foolishness places on offer, that part of the appeal is that it feels secret. And it's like, oh, it's a shortcut. The way to joy, the way to life, the way to really experience what I want to experience right now. It's right there. Lady Folly says, I might not have like these delicious meats and wine, but listen, I've got some stolen Dasani and some frozen pizza. That's what I have on offer. This is what Lady Folly, this is what foolishness does. It makes instant gratification. It makes the shortcut sound mysterious and desirable. Her voice whispers, you don't have to wait. You don't have to prepare. You don't have to think. You don't have to grow. You don't have to change. You don't have to be challenged. Just take what you want when you want it right now. No cost, no formation, no foresight. And so as we get to this portion of the comparison, the difference is very clear. The difference experientially is very clear. And so while you might be fooled by Lady Folly initially, there comes a point when you're in her house drinking room temp Dasani and eating that bad pizza where you should realize and recognize, I have to get out of this house. I have to. And the quicker you can get out of that home, the better. Because there's something that Lady Folly, in her shockingly similar invitation, isn't telling you and isn't putting on her billboards and in her advertising strategy. And that's found in verse 18. They do not realize that in Lady Folly's house, the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of the grave. Foolishness leads to death, and not just ultimate death, but death in this life. And so here's the warning. The wrong voice won't seem wrong until you've gone too far to turn around. The wrong voice that we are following will not seem wrong until we find ourselves in a position where we can't turn around. There were points in our journey over to see my parents where we could have turned around. There were so many points where my wife looked at me from the passenger seat like, do you know what you're doing? There were so many points where I could have stopped at a gas station and asked for directions, but I did not because I am, unfortunately, a man. I could have listened to Lady Wisdom sitting in the passenger seat, but I continued to listen to Lady Folly in that stupid GPS. And eventually it was too late to turn around. Thankfully, it didn't result in disaster. We got to our destination. But in life, that's not always the case. There are many of us here today. We chose to listen to the wrong voice for too long. We might have been fooled initially. We eventually came to our senses and we persisted. And we now bear the scars because of it. And I don't say that to bring up thoughts of shame on anyone here, because I think all of us have experienced this. It's just simply to highlight how important listening to the right voice is. Because remember, the voices that we listen to shape the life we live. And that's what Proverbs 9 is trying to tell us this morning. This text is more than just some sort of creative, vivid metaphor written thousands of years ago. This is ancient wisdom and a map for life. This is God's word for us today in 2025. And it's trying to help us to recognize what road we're actually on before it's too late. So then here's the big question. How do you know if you've been listening to the wrong voice? How do you know if you've been listening to the wrong voice? Or how do you become the kind of person who doesn't fall for the imitation, who doesn't mistake the cheap shortcuts in life for the real way of God's wisdom? Thankfully, the answer, I believe, is tucked, sandwiched right between the introduction of both of those characters in verses 7 through 12. Look at verse 7 with me right now. Whoever corrects a mocker is asking for insult. Whoever reproves a wicked person receives abuse. And so do not reprove a mocker, or he will hate you. Reprove, though on the other side, a wise person, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise person, and he will become wiser still. Teach a righteous person, and he will add to his learning. Let's stop right there. Because I think what Proverbs is doing right here is absolutely brilliant. Because what Proverbs isn't saying is it doesn't say the wise person always chooses the right path. Proverbs doesn't say that. Proverbs also doesn't say that the wise person never makes mistakes. It doesn't say that. What does it say? It says this, and this is so utterly important. It says the wise person can be corrected. The wise person gladly receives feedback. Because the wise person wants to add to their understanding. And so hear this. Foolishness isn't just about listening to the wrong voice. It's about refusing to admit it. Foolishness isn't just about listening to the wrong voice and starting on that path. It's going down that path and having someone or something correct you and refusing to listen. And so then if that's true, wisdom is not about perfection. Not at all. It's about teachability. It's about humility. It's the willingness to turn around when someone lovingly points out, hey, I think you might be going down the wrong path. And so let's make this a little bit more personal. I think this morning, what Proverbs 9 is calling all of us to today is just to be open to the possibility, the very real possibility, that even without realizing it, some of us have been listening to the wrong voice. Maybe we've wandered down a path that feels familiar. Maybe we've wandered down a path that is culturally celebrated. Maybe it's just a path that feels safe. Maybe it's a path that even feels vaguely spiritual. But recently, you've been starting to notice the fruit of that path, the fruit of listening to that voice. And you've seen in your own life that you have grown more isolated and antisocial. You've grown more reckless in your spending habits. You are increasingly disengaged from your work. You bristle more frequently at your boss's feedback. You are shorter and less patient with those that you profess to love the most. That is not the fruit of wisdom. That's the fruit of folly. And verse 18 says that way leads to death, to the grave. But the good news is this. If we are on that road right now, we do not have to stay on that road. We don't have to stay on that road. Remember, do you remember the invite, the open invite from Lady Wisdom? That invite is perennial. It is ongoing. She cries out loud from the highest point in the city. Verse 6, she says, "Abandon your foolish ways so that you may live and proceed in the way of understanding and clarity and life." Listen to this, just a few verses later, verse 11. "For because of me, your days will be many and years will be added to your life." These are the promises of the way of wisdom, of walking in God's wisdom. And so if we are honest with ourselves this morning, maybe we realize that in some ways we are listening to the wrong voices. Maybe we've been following a voice that's led us off course. If that is us today, praise God we recognize it. There is no need to spiral. There is no need to be discouraged about that. You don't need to beat yourself up, because wisdom is not interested in shaming you. She's just trying to get your attention. In Proverbs 9, we're listening to this voice again, and she is calling out to us, and she's saying, turn around. Leave that path. There's still time. Wisdom is readily available. There is a seat for you at the feast. You're not stuck. There's still hope. And so if we find ourselves in a spot where we're like, yes, that's me. I've been on the wrong path. I need to turn around. How do I turn around? Proverbs 9 also gives us the on-ramp. Verse 8, "Rebuke a wise person, and he will love you. Instruct the wise, and they will become wiser still. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." In other words, here's where all of this lands. Very obvious, very simple. Wisdom's voice is heard by the humble. You want to hear wisdom's voice? Be humble. Those that are willing to admit they might need to change course, that's the thread running through Proverbs 9, 7 through 12. The people who sit at the table with Lady Wisdom, dining on meat and wine, which is symbolic of the wisdom she has on offer, are those that are willing to be corrected. Those who are willing to hear from others, hear from God, I've not been going the right way. I need to make a change. Because we see here in 7 through 12, the mocker, the one who is used to listening to ladies' folly's voice, they can't receive any correction. You know someone is walking in the way of folly when you try to correct them and they get ultra defensive. They snap back at you because they perceive it as some sort of attack on who they are as a person, because what they're going after is their own selfish desire. But the wise love correction. They love it. They wake up in the morning and they're like, I just want more. They eat it for breakfast. Because ultimately they know it's not an attack. It's care. It's formation. It will eventually lead to more wisdom. It will lead to greater life. It will lead to greater joy. Because underneath all of that, at its core, is that thing we talked about a couple weeks ago, the beginning of all wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. At its core is this reverence, is this humility, is this trust that says, God, I trust your voice more than I trust mine. Even when I don't feel it, even when I don't understand it. That is humility. Wisdom's voice is heard by the humble. And so I've been just wanting to keep this series, especially as we get to the end of each teaching, just super practical. So I've got a couple of invitations for us as a church to step into to help us listen to the right voice. And so here's the first invitation, and we're just going to call it the feedback test, okay? Something I'm inviting all of us into. You can choose whether or not you want to step into it this week. And the first thing is the feedback test. And here's what this might look like in your life. I want you just to think about like a good friend, preferably or essentially someone who's wise, all right? A good, wise friend, someone you trust, someone who's wise, and I want you to ask them a question. Are you ready for this question? Church, are you ready for this question? No. You're like, no, I am not doing this. I get that. Here's the question, or a form of this question. Is there any place in my life where it seems like I'm listening to the wrong voice? Find a good wise friend. Ask them that question. Is there any place in my life where it seems like I'm listening to the wrong voice? And after you ask that question, do what almost no one else does. Just listen. Don't explain. Don't get defensive. Don't rationalize. Just listen. And then afterward, maybe not in that moment, but later in the day, bring what they said and how you felt to God later that day. Just go before God with that and be like, God, why did I feel the way I felt when they said those things? And maybe it stung. Maybe you got defensive. Ask God, like, well, why did I feel that way? Is that pride? Is that my own desire being challenged right now? Ask God, what did they say that sounded like it was the voice of wisdom trying to break through? And then ask God for the courage and the strength to change course. Here's the second practice. A little bit more simple. Okay, I gave you guys the hard one first. Here's the second one. Mute a voice. And this one's real simple. We all have a variety of voices pouring into our minds and our hearts. And so pick one voice that might not be a voice of wisdom. And maybe it's like a great weekly podcast that you love listening to, but you just know, like, this thing is not making me more wise. Maybe it's an app on your phone. Whatever it is, find a voice and just mute it. For 7 days, that's it. Shut it down. Choose not to listen to it for a week and replace that voice with a voice that you know is wise. Maybe it's a daily proverb, psalm, gospel reading. Maybe you have a tradition or habit of going out on a walk, listening to a podcast. Don't listen to the podcast. Go out on a walk, spend that time with God in listening prayer. And then at the end of your day, do a bit of an inventory on the voices that you chose to let into your life that day and how they're impacting you, how they're affecting you. Are they voices of wisdom and leading to the fruit of wisdom, or are they voices of foolishness leading to the fruit of foolishness? Because ultimately, I think for just about all of us here today is a moment for us to consider, maybe I've been on the wrong road. not in some drastic, dramatic way, but maybe just even a subtle way, I have been on the wrong road. Maybe I've been listening to the wrong voice. Because listen, if that's you, it's okay. It's okay. Maybe you didn't mean to get there. Maybe when you first heard that voice, it sounded confident and reassuring and familiar. But now, as you look back, it's taken you somewhere you didn't want to go. It's formed you to become this kind of person you didn't want to become. And if that's the case, listen, maybe it's time to fire the polite GPS lady, okay? Fire her and start following a wiser, different voice. A voice that isn't going to flatter you and you end up in some ditch or on some back road, but a voice that is going to boldly correct you, not because it thinks less of you, but because it's trying to lead you somewhere good. It's trying to lead you to a feast, to a place of joy, to a place of depth. The voice of wisdom is trying to lead us to a place of life. We try to listen to that voice this week. Would you stand with me as I pray? Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the wisdom that is found in it. We thank you for this book of Proverbs that is just loaded with your wisdom. Lord, there are many of us in this room. I'd imagine that all of us in some way, we find ourselves on the road in the house of Lady Folly. And Lord, I just pray for your grace to be abundant in this place today. And Lord, would you help us get out before it's too late? Would you help us to escape before we count ourselves as those who are in the grave? Lord, too many of us have experienced the wounds and the scarring from walking down that path, God. We pray for your spirit's strength to open our eyes, the clarity and wisdom needed to walk in the way of life. Lady Wisdom is declaring from on high, there is a feast available for all of us in this room. God, would you help us to have the courage, and not just the courage, but God, the humility to take Lady Wisdom up on the offer and be like, I've been in the wrong house. I got the wrong address, but I'm making a change, and I'm going to pursue Lady Wisdom. I'm going to pursue the way of wisdom. Thank you for the vivid metaphor, God, the picture that you have painted for us. How it's not just a poem, but this is a map for reality. In a world that is increasingly chaotic, increasingly drawing us to fulfill our desires, our needs, our pleasure. Lord, would we pursue the way of Christ? Would we take up our crosses and follow the way of wisdom, we pray in your Son's gracious and powerful name. Amen.